mentioned various options related to the community center project. Mr. Kissman.
Madam Chair, as the board is aware, that on April 9th, township received bids for the previously designed community center project. The board rejected all of the bids at that point, and the design team, which includes myself, Jim Lazio from Park and Rec, Jim Bograd from Kimball, Bograd Architects, and Greg Peters from Capital Construction Management, we have gone back to the drawing board to try to come up with a series of options for the board to consider. Tonight, the purpose of tonight's meeting is to showcase those options for your consideration. We are not looking for the board to take action this evening on any of those items. We would like your input on that and any questions that you have. Certainly, there's going to be some comments from the general public this evening as well. We would like to entertain as many of those questions as we can. In large part, you know, we went back and we touched every single aspect of this community center project on Super Nuts. And, you know, I'll defer to Matt in a second on that. He'll be able to go through it in a little bit more detail. But this team has been together since the April 9th meeting. We meet several times a week, whether it's via conference phone, whether it's in-person meetings. We have gone through an extensive effort to try to keep cost in mind as we look at this project, keep community needs in mind as we look at this project, and try to come up with a solution that I think is balanced for our community and something that the board can debate openly about as we move forward. So I'd like to turn it over to Matt to kind of discuss where we've been as a group and some of the things that we've had to look at over the last couple of months, and then ultimately turn it over to Jim and Greg, and I'll go through some of the schematics on the screen tonight to give us a preview of what we're putting before you tonight for consideration.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that, and appreciate everyone being here this evening. What we as a group thought would be really helpful before I turn it over to Jim this evening is to just discuss briefly some commonalities that are pretty consistent through all the options that you're going to be seeing tonight. And it lends back to what Chris had just mentioned about basically going back and looking at every area of the original design and really start taking a peek at where we can reduce square footage, where we can increase efficiencies, adjacencies, and where we can save some real dollars in construction. Those items include everything from storage, circulation within the building, two large areas anticipating should be some significant cost savings is that reduced and eliminated the basement in the entire facility. There's been a lot of talk about foundation systems. There's been a lot of talk about the cost of those foundations in the basement. So the thought was to make this a building without a basement, put the filtration systems and things that were originally planned to be in the basement on the first floor. In addition to that, another we anticipate doing another cost savings is we eliminated the second floor of the building, and that's consistent with all the options that you see here this evening as well. So obviously all the structural steel and everything else that's associated with the second floor, we anticipate doing a fairly significant cost savings as well. With that redesign of the second floor, that also obviously impacted and necessitated that what was an elevated walking track on the second floor is now going to be a walking area around the gymnasium area on the first floor. So obviously that is another cost savings. As part of looking at this, all the scenarios also include a reduction in the indoor bar surface area. What that necessitated and kind of resulted in is also the ability to eliminate one full set of locker rooms as part of the plan as well. With these changes, some other significant cost savings that we anticipate, we removed the elevators because obviously we're a one floor building, but elevators don't come cheap. And also some stairways within the building, obviously, since we don't have access to the second floor. We also got down into very small areas of the building. If you recall, in the original design and presentations that we've done over the past few years, there was a playroom that was associated with our child watch area. The playroom has been eliminated, and we'll still be able to provide child watch services, but it won't just be as a robust area. With the reduction in the pool, indoor pool water surface area, came a reduction in the seating as well in the auditorium. So that will be used as well. You all recall that there was a, what was termed kind of a cafe area in the lobby. And the team decided that they got creative in incorporating kind of a refreshment area in the existing lobby square footage and really eliminating the square footage for what was going to be kind of a larger cafe area in the lobby. And last but certainly not least was a redesign of the loading dock area, which was kind of a recessed below grade ramp design that a tractor trailer or delivery trucks could get to that were 4 feet off the ground so they could get the material turned in. That loading area has been redesigned to on grade loading dock for the facility, for the materials and chemicals and things that would come to the facility. So there's probably other ones. I know there's other areas of the building that have been adjusted, but we just thought it was very important to share with everyone that every area of the building has been evaluated and doing our best to really to narrow those costs as best we can. So rather than Jim, as he goes through every option, noting all those, they're all commonalities in all the options that you can see here this evening. So I hope that's helpful. So with that, here's Jim Bogret from Kimmel Bogret, who's going to run through the options and Chuck and Drew and
suggest for those of you on the side to really see, just hopefully get up and really please for a little bit so you can see what's on the screen.
Thank you. And Matt, that was a pretty good job summarizing the changes, so I don't have to reiterate everything. Obviously, the things that were significant in the redesign and the evaluation of the last design and where we're proposing this evening, the basement was tremendously significant. The second floor obviously is another huge significant savings for the stairs and elevators, but not to just mention the whole floor and the floor structure and the fact that we had activities above offices and classrooms and we had to dampen sound and things like that. So from a just a pure acoustic perspective, we were able to eliminate all those needs. Before we get into looking at each of the four options that we're recommending and presenting tonight as something to consider, I just want to let the public know and the board know this is really the result of looking at many options in the magnitude of 10 to 12 various options. Some of the options that we looked at were iterative in the process, so option 4, option 6, option 7 might have been changed and derived to ultimately where we are tonight. We've also looked at the existing rec center, something that's been asked in the past, and at the same time that we're looking at how to redesign the current facility, how can we look at what we have and how can we add to it, and what's worthwhile keeping and what's not worthwhile keeping. And the long and short of it is that when we got done with it, we were saving probably 6-7% of the existing building and adding 95-94%. And at that point, it just didn't make sense to pursue that any further. So we chose not to consider that or recommend that anymore. We've also looked at off-site locations to see if we can renovate an existing building. We looked at three layers of analyzing that existing building, looking at it before we got there, looking at it after we got there, and then looking at it a third time. And we felt that we looked at that in enough depth, basically the same level of sketching that you see here tonight, to recognize that probably wasn't going to work out for largely because of the cost perspective. So like I said, this evening we have four options to present this evening. And the other thing I want to mention before we go through all these that is important is how in all of our meetings we talked about the programming, what's in this building, and it really kind of forced us to understand and value what's really important. You know, all the hard work that we had done previously was not for naught. I mean, there's a lot of relationships in the program, what's in the building, and you know, everything was tested, everything was challenged, and when we got through it by the end of the day, we ended up with what we're showing this evening. So the first option that we're showing here is option A, looking at 84,000 square feet. And when you look at these graphics, you'll see a red dashed line around each of them at the perimeter, and it's not labeled, but that's there as a reference to what the former building footprint was in the last design that went out to bid. You'll see some familiar kind of patterns and relationships where we still have a common kind of lobby community center, if you will, in terms of the gathering and circulating. We still have our team center. We moved the fitness from upstairs downstairs. But equally important is how we arranged and designed the multipurpose room, the senior center, and the offices. So those spaces that I'm referring to are in the upper right corner, in yellow, purple, light purple, and blue. Thank you, Greg. I love my words. So this whole area. So this is a sort of common core piece that we had before, and we felt that it was right size before and had the right kind of spaces. And it's a little bit different from what we had in terms of the relationship with the men's and women's rooms, but for all intents and purposes, this is the same. And this piece repeats itself through all the options. The fitness and exercise room and gymnasium, more active areas, so there are sort of on the other side. We use the kitchen, storage, bathroom, and teens as a way to kind of separate the senior center from the and the offices from the sort of louder activities, so we think that's a good thing as well. We, as we said earlier, the basement used to have all the pool equipment, and that was done really for a good reason, because we were using gravity as our friend to help with the pool. And now we're going to have a little bit more effort in terms of pumps, but still be done. We may have this down a little bit just to help gravity work in our favor. But we can get all that here. And this is showing a 35 meter by 25 yard competition pool. And what this pool would yield is 10 lanes swimming this way, and there'd be a bulkhead here, and you could have four lanes swimming in this direction, sort of perpendicular to these. I would still have the leisure pool. Again, this is something that has not changed. We're recommending that this be, you know, brought forward with really any and all these options that we're showing, except for the latter two this evening. Gymnasium, we talked about the walking track being on grade and no longer being elevated. We gave a little extra space in this dimension and this dimension to make sure that we can make sure that if someone's walking around here and there's activity here, that everyone's kind of safe and protected from balls and things like that. Because the utilities are coming in from COCO, and on this side we have our electric and mechanical kind of closet and then some gym storage. And then from our sort of wet core, if you will, all the locker rooms and things. It was mentioned that we got rid of the family. We had four locker rooms, 1, 2, 3, 4, plus a family changing room and locker room. We decided to take two of the four locker rooms and make them a little bit bigger and accommodate men's and women's family changing rooms. So we think that's a value kind of proposition as well. concessions and lifeguards and everything. This is very similar to what we had before, and we brought that forward as well. We have about, I think, 600 seats in the, 600 seats with a spectator point of view on a 35 meter pool, and about 300 on the deck in terms of participants. The good thing about removing the, if you remember last time we had that descending loading dock areas, now we can recapture that as outdoor space. But it does provide the challenge to get the loading dock at a point where we can separate. The challenge here is still not 100%, all this is still not 100%, but we feel strongly that this is something that's heading in the right direction, and that's a true statement for really everything that we're looking at. The proximity to the entrance, and although this is intermittent, it's not like, you know, you're warehousing, you're getting shipments throughout the day, there will be times where you're going to have people coming and there'll be a truck here to unload, but we think these things can coexist, and should this one be chosen, we'll take a look at this and try to separate that a little bit better. So I'll go on to the next one, just so we can move through these and then we can ask questions if that's the manner we'd like to proceed. So this is very similar to what we just saw. You probably didn't blink. What happened was, the question was, what happens if we reduce the competitive pool to 25 meters by 25 yards? So everything should be very familiar with the exception of the width of that, and you see when you shrink that dimension, you get a little more green space on both sides, so the areas here. So we're still entering, we still have reception, still coming in. Obviously, because of the reduced width of the pool, now we're looking at 450 seats of spectators and 200 on the deck. So that's obviously a function of width and number of seats that you can get left to right.
Jake, can you talk to the number of lanes in?
Sure, and this will be 10. Because there's no bulkhead in this scenario, so you have 10 lanes, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. But you also, every time you have the leisure pool with it, we also had 4 lanes here, so 10 and 4, 14, and before we had 14 plus 4, we had 18. So compare that to the 6 that you have now. That's quite an uptick, even with a small pool.
Jim, just to clarify, when you said the 14, that's with the 35-meter option?
35-meter by 25-yard, 14 lanes.
Plus the 4 in the leisure.
Plus the 4 in the leisure pool, so that would get you to 18. And this would be 10 plus the 4, get you the 14.
What's the reference? Cocoa Avenue on the right?
Cocoa Avenue is on the left side.
Okay.
All the schools and everything are to the left. The library is to the south.
So then you're entering into the back.
Where's you're entering.
Where is now?
Oh, the existing entrance is probably about right around here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is probably where the fireplace is right here.
Okay. And so there's no outdoor pool?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. The outdoor pool and each of these options, you'll actually see it in some of the other ones. We just weren't able to show it, but the pool deck would be the outdoor pool that we're planning on every one of these options.
Yes, I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah, all options have the outdoor pool.
All options have the outdoor pool.
And that would be the same as it is now?
No, so that would be the option, or as we redesigned it.
So would the original community center plan of that outdoor pool carries true in these four options?
Yes.
So how do you get from here to the outdoor pool?
So the parking is over here where all the title blocks are and everyone's logos. So we'll be coming in this way. It's not any different than what we had in the original design or original bid. So the check-in would be here. And then what you don't see is where the pool is, but the pool would be all below here. And the splash pad would be here. And like I said, concessions were here
side pool to the outside pool?
That would be through the through this corridor in here and going into the locker rooms, and then coming, that's why I call this like the wet zone, and then you come out of these rooms onto another corridor, and then from here to here, and then from, you would have doors that would be here that would create direct access to the pool. Very similar to what we had before and what we proposed before. So this is option B, and its square footage is 81,000 square feet. And I apologize, but I forgot to mention what the area was on option A.
84. Jim, just as a reminder, could you share what the square footage was on the previous community center?
We were 113.4, so 113,400. So even in the largest option, we're 26% smaller than what we had bid.
And Matt, I'll ask you this one just as a reference. I believe the approximate square footage of the existing facility right now, so that's what everyone's most familiar with.
We're just over 30,000.
It's about 40,000. Okay.
So let's advance to option C, please. And option C is the question was asked, what if we eliminate the leisure pool and create a new recreation center that is similar in the water offerings as what we have today, which is a competitive pool and an outdoor pool. Albeit this competitive pool, as I said earlier in the previous option, is already much better than the current six-lane pool that you have now. We're showing in option C, 25 meter by 25 yard. So this is a 10-lane swimming pool, competitive pool. And you'll see, obviously, the orange is our wet area that I referred to, because now we have one body of indoor water. We need only need one set of locker rooms here. We don't need a double set of locker rooms like we had in the previous. We have two. So we're able to make this a little bit narrower, a little bit smaller, and that's why you see the significant amount of sort of green space around the building, and a building that's 68,000 square feet compared to the 113.4 that we had put out to bid. So all of this, again, this is the same. The restrooms and the vestibule and the way into the, you know, getting into the competitive pool, gymnasium, all this is should look familiar and sound familiar. The outdoor pool, again, would be below in this sort of gridded area, and you would come in from the parking lot to a control point to go in or to come out directly to the pool deck here.
The gymnasium is the same size.
Gymnasium is the same, so that's the same size, and we kept that the same in every option. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this whole community lobby, circulation desk, this whole piece, and the gym kind of repeat themselves on every option. So the variants are the water. The last option is if we, and here you'll see, we put in, we have a little more space to show it. If you did an indoor leisure pool and not a competitive pool, what would it look like and how would it lay out, and what we ended up with, because the leisure pool is a smaller area, the smallest of all four options. This one's 61,500 square feet. But again, from the idea that there's one indoor pool, there's one tried to bring as much of the program forward as possible. Having a smaller amount of water, we don't need as large of a pool equipment room. Having two bodies of water versus three, so that gets a little smaller. It creates some storage and things along here to support the pool, our gym, and our and the maintenance that we're going to, you know, have services coming into the building.
Matt, all four of these plans have a senior center?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
They all do. As I was mentioning in the beginning, that was one of the things we recognized as what was good in the previous design. We wanted to carry that forward in all these options. So the multi-purpose room, the classrooms, the offices, the lobby, all this is the entrance. This is all dedicated for the seniors when they are here to use the building. Plus, they obviously get to use the rest of the building.
That space again, that's dedicated for the seniors, is able to be used to be rented when they're not in there for some revenue.
That's correct. Monday through Friday, what we would anticipate, we've been working with the seniors for many months on this, would be seniors would use it from early morning on Monday through Friday till mid-afternoon, and at that point, we'll be able to program it. It actually coincides nicely for when the kids get out of school and walk over from the school district to our facility. Very usable space for after-school activities, tutoring, and a lot of other things that we would be able to do, as well as a large multi-purpose room for rental revenue potential and those things on the weekends. So it's a great use of that square footage to serve both.
It's nice. We've heard from the community for a long time that there's not enough water, so it's nice that in all these options there is definitely some more water. Matt or Jim or Craig, could you maybe explain a little bit for us and for the public the differences between the 25-yard by 25-meter compared to the 35? Just, I mean, obviously one's bigger than the other, and obviously one would be more expensive to build and probably more expensive to maintain. But if you could just kind of give an overview of, from a programming standpoint, Matt, like what is the difference both in the number of lanes and how those pieces are used and the temperature and the program in general? I think just be helpful for everybody.
Okay. I can address that. So as everyone's aware, competitive water, and really the programming is dictated by the water temperature. Recreational, and I often use our existing pool as the prime example of the conflict between temperature and programming. So when you're talking about community recreational programming in the swimming pool, those participants desire a pool water temperature of anywhere between 86, 88, maybe push 89 for therapeutic type of things. You can get up into 90 area. For folks, and the recreational programming includes your learn swim programs, your aquasides, your senior activities, and your specialties. When you start talking about competitive swimming, you're talking about master's programs, folks that are coming in the lap swim to really get a good workout, raise the heart rate, and those types of things. Those individuals prefer, you know, water temperature 78 to 81 max in that area. So what I've struggled with for the last 25 years in my current facility is we keep our water at 83. So we're very successful at making everyone angry and very uncomfortable. So we hear from the competitive folks and the folks that are swimming for exercise that it's much too warm, and it is. It honestly is. And I hear from moms and dads of kids in learn swim programs that their kids are turning blue because they're freezing. And we got to the point where we had to tell parents to buy the kids' wetsuits for the swimmers. So to talk about the various programming, so the programming in the 35 compared to a 25, certainly there's more water surface area. There's some additional opportunities to run additional programs. That doesn't necessarily change the amount of different types of programs that you can offer. So it certainly offers more lanes, as Jim very well explained leisure pool obviously would be the body of water that serves both our swim and the seniors and the folks that I just kind of explained. So certainly the 35 is more attractive to particularly the competitive swimming community because they can have 10 lanes with a bulkhead and also have four warm-up, warm-down lanes in the same body of water, same temperature. It's very conducive and efficient for swim meets. The 25, they have 10 lanes, but they also have the other four lanes in the leisure if that option is picked that they possibly be able to utilize in larger meets. So I don't know if I answered your question. Kind of give you just a broad overview of some of the challenges and some of the pluses and minuses of the whole
thing. And I think it is, even though the extra lanes on the 35 would be attractive for the competitive swimmers, it's still water you could use for additional programming.
Sure, it's more surface area. We could use that.
And the leisure pool, then does that also include some lanes?
It does. That
for people who don't like cold water and go to swim, just asking for a friend.
It has four lanes, and that would be the warmer body of water. And so I kind of the temperature range I just talked about. And that would be very conducive for the community programming as well.
So where would you put your competitive swimmers if you use this diagram here?
You wouldn't.
We have a large amount of competitive swimmers, and there's no competitive pool, at least not for the winter time.
Yeah.
No, all year round.
The summer does not include that type of pool. Isn't that correct?
I'm sorry?
Well, she said there wouldn't be a competitive pool in this except for in the summertime, and I'm saying no, the outdoor pool is not it's not a 50-meter pool that we currently have outside. It won't include any competitive lanes. Is that not correct?
Yeah, the way that the outdoor community pool is designed right now, that is correct.
So what I'm trying to ask is, how would that benefit the whole community if you don't have a competitive pool?
And that's the decisions that will have to be made.
Let's do this if it's all right. If we could hold off on public questions, which have been great, by the way. But let's hold off on that just for a few minutes and see if the board has any additional questions from the gym, Greg, Matt, and Chris, and then we can certainly then move on to the rest of the agenda, which will replace the public comment really with the community center and other issues that you'd like to address. Yes.
So as Jim mentioned earlier, the project team has been looking at multiple different iterations of different reprogramming options to try and bring forward. And many of those iterations were scaling down the original design. The four options that have been presented tonight certainly have some differences in them. Clearly, there's two of the options that both have the leisure pool and a competitive swimming pool included. Two of the options only have one pool included. One of those options, as it's been shown tonight, is a 25-meter competitive pool, and then the other option B, is just the leisure pool. Obviously, totally different programming options with option C and D in terms of what can be accommodated. And that's part of, as Matt said, a discussion. But what we wanted to do was bring those forward so that people understood those options were all viable. And in fact, you know, certainly for option C, there could be a CA, which is one gym and a 35-meter pool. It's not that these are the only four options that are out there, but we wanted to present number of options that fit within the budget parameters that we were being asked to work to. So as part of trying to frame the cost of these different options. We looked at the size of the buildings and used a square footage analysis to come up with the cost that you see there. The first option, which is designed as bid, was the 113,400 square feet, which Jim referenced earlier, which equates to about $328 a square foot. Total project construction costs, not total project costs, total construction costs. All of these other options have some variation on that cost per square foot, either a little bit higher or a little bit lower, based on a couple of different parameters that we were looking at. Clearly, there were some things during the bid process that we heard and understood from the bidders that were impacting the costs. We're making assumptions about making adjustments to those in the design going forward. The other thing that Jim mentioned, clearly any of the options that we're looking at right now are significantly smaller than the original as-bid project. Much of those savings in square footage really comes from economizing this building onto a single story. So lots of circulation space gets used up in corridors on first floors and second floors and stair towers and elevators. One of the things that I'm not sure if Jim mentioned, but the adjacencies of having fitness on the first floor in closer proximity to locker rooms that are there that can service not only the pools, but those fitness areas, creates an opportunity to eliminate a whole other set of locker rooms that was on the second floor and was redone. So in terms of trying to make decisions in terms of which direction to go with the project, this is one piece of the puzzle. We also understand that there's an operational analysis and a pro forma analysis that needs to be part of that decision-making process for the board. The consultant, sports facility advisory group that the township has hired as a consultant, is working on those analyses to look at operational costs for a number of these different options. So we're expecting or hoping to have that back by June 25th, maybe just slightly beyond that in terms of a delivery date. Any questions? Took the as-bid results as the base, so what the market just told us a month and a half or 2 months ago in terms of what the facility was costing on a cost per square foot basis to construct. As we have gone through and evaluated these different scenarios, there are some stranded costs that aren't size dependent. There's demolition costs that are going to be fixed. There's the outdoor pool cost, which is the same for all of these scenarios, as well as much of the site costs, which are a fixed cost. So one of the things that happens is as the square footage goes down, the cost per square foot actually goes up because you have less building square footage to absorb all of those other sort of fixed project costs. So to answer your question, we use the the bid results as the baseline for where we're starting in terms of looking at cost per square foot.
So you're feeling that that's much more conservative budgeting than the last grant?
I believe it's a good indicator of where we're coming, yeah, especially if we take some of the things that we talked about in terms of trying to do an analysis of where the bid results were, with schedule and some scope items, and make those adjustments going forward.
Okay. What will the process look like?
My suggestion would be, once the board makes a decision based on which direction they would like to go, the architect has an opportunity to flush out the documents a little bit more than the one-page colored sketches that we're looking at, that we would engage a third party to do budget verification.
What are the implications of the land development plan for any of these scenarios?
The more drastic the changes, the more significant the change to the land development plan, clearly. I think all of these are smaller than the existing footprint, so we shouldn't have as much of a challenge as if we were getting bigger. There will have to be some revisions to the land development plan. Some of it will be procedural as it relates to the MPDS permit and the stormwater management plans. Some of it, again, depending on what gets changed, will be more significant because we have to modify some of the design for stormwater management.
Okay. Can you give a sense for how much fitness? Is it the same amount of fitness square footage in each one of these scenarios?
It is.
Do you know roughly what that is?
Right now, I believe we have about 5,500 square feet of fitness area programmed in terms of just true fitness, like equipment areas, and 1,500 square feet of exercise rooms that's programmed. And as we've talked about before, some of those program areas that Matt has built on the building could potentially be repurposed at different times to provide more opportunities for exercise classes.
And that's less than the original design?
It is. Not a lot less in terms of fitness, but less in terms of exercise rooms.
Okay. Does that include basketball courts too?
No. The basketball court really hasn't changed. It was a full-size court before it's a full-size court.
Okay, but the number of square footage for the fitness doesn't include...
It does not include the gymnasium.
And just one more point, which is something that's occurred to me over the past couple of days, whether there's an opportunity to move the exercise rooms closer to a leisure pool and potentially have a double party rooms. Just something to consider. Know party rooms are a revenue driver, and I think there's probably somewhat of an inverse relationship between exercise rooms when they're used on Saturday and Sunday mornings versus party rooms that are used Saturday and Sunday afternoons. Maybe just something to look at. That's all I have. Thanks.
Great. Can you read the totals up there for us? We can't see it from back there.
Total project costs, and again, these are updated soft costs based on where we believe those soft costs would be for the total project cost. Some of those soft costs are already spent, and as Jim mentioned earlier, fortunately, in the scenarios that we're looking at, there is a number of things that we are able to reuse and carry forward. But in terms of the different options, option A, 31.59 million. Option B is 30.19 million. Option C is 27.46 million. And option D is 25.56 million.
Is that construction or total?
Total project cost. Yep. Including soft cost and contingency.
And the original one, comparable number, was what? 30? The one that was.
As it was bid?
Yeah.
Total project cost, $42 million. Their square foot costs are based on single line diagrams. We're using the bid results as the basis for coming up with the square foot.
Right. Since these numbers are kind of reflective of where things are in the market, and there were probably some other takeaways from the original bid process, are there any things that you believe from talking to contractors and doing research since April that will change how you envision this project going out for bid? You mentioned a couple minutes ago about changing scope. Are there things that you think we need to alter, in addition to all the suggestions to reduce the square footage, how would we change putting this out to market?
There is a number of scope items that we've talked about and identified as potentially areas that we can make modifications and save money during the bid process, but I think the biggest thing that can be adjusted in the bid process is the overall schedule duration. We heard that somewhat during the bid process a little bit and more post-bid, that contractors wanted more time. And I think that affected the overall level of participation from the general contracting community and the subcontracting community. Contractors are all busy right now. And so an aggressive schedule with liquidated damages, I think some of them made a decision not to participate. So that clearly is something that I think the township needs to consider in terms of rebidding this. Is a longer duration, and unfortunately that means more time without a community center, but I think that's the reality of that. Some of the other nuts and bolts things in terms of looking at ways to redesign the project to make it more efficient. Structural steel numbers were pretty expensive when they came in. I don't think it's a tariff issue. I think it was largely a design issue with some of the huge girder trusses and some of the finishing on the steel. Looking at some of those issues, looking at the foundation issues again, simplifying the building to be a single story structure definitely helps that in a lot of different ways. And then in addition, as we had talked about previously, looking at the earthwork component, and whether it's classified or unclassified. So,
sure, you're not talking about
I don't think you want to get rid of them.
No.
I think is a part of the discussion that we should have in terms of overall schedule duration is what those damages are.
No, I'm okay with the schedule duration, but I didn't really have damages. You said that sounded like we're coping with those.
May want to have a conversation about how much per day they are.
Okay. I actually have two quick questions. The 35 millimeter, yes, it's very, very small. It's been a long day. 35 meter pool, that is a bulkhead, right?
The 35 meter pool does include a bulkhead. That's correct.
Do we have to have a bulkhead? I know it's recommended. Do we have to have
it? I think, and I'm not an expert on pools, but I've listened to a lot of people who know a lot more than I do over the last year and a half. I think that the functionality of the 35 meter pool we're looking at about the components that are similar, and then I believe that giving us the option to say part A versus part B.
Another question, the bulkhead. About how much does the bulkhead cost, and how much maintenance are required for this?
I don't know the answer to your question about maintenance. When we had it budgeted from the pool consultant during the last phase of the project, the 4-foot bulkhead was about $200,000. And that's what we ended up with. They come in 4-foot or 6-foot in versions, and we had included a 4-foot version.
So what other point I wanted to make while you're up there is just that I had some conversations with members from the aquatic community that I'm not an expert in pools, but that have mentioned that a 35-inch, there's such thing as a 40-yard pool that is slightly larger, 5 feet larger than a 35-meter pool, and adds a lot of functionality. So I think it's something that we need to understand better as we look at these four different options. If there actually is, I think there's one at Cumberland Valley High School. So is there a 40-yard option that is that much more functional and not that much more functional? So something I think would be helpful to have the answer to that.
I'd like to really commend this team of Matt and Jim and Greg and Chris really for doing outstanding work in capturing the mission and the vision and the values of the original community center in these new possible options. And really, it has never been about picking the most expensive or the least expensive option, and it still isn't today. It's about picking the option that I think serves the needs of the community best for today and into the future. We've got a chance at this about every 60 years, so it's important to get it right, and I appreciate the team's work on this and certainly all the public's input. And you're all here on a lovely summer night because you care about this community. So thank you for being a part of this, and if you could just sit tight for maybe 7 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on how long it takes, Chuck, 10 minutes maybe, we'll get to the second session of public comment and want to hear your thoughts as well.
What about the schedule? Is there anything on the schedule for that?
Chris, do you want to kind of go over?
So far as the schedule is concerned, in terms of board decision making, ideally, we get our report and analysis from SFA prior to the June 25th meeting. That gives you an opportunity to evaluate that along with the sketches and the budget that Greg just presented. We would love to try to get some direction from the board at the June 25th meeting, but it may spill over into July. This point, that does then have an impact on the timing of redesign, the documents getting out to bid. I don't have a schedule of how that's going to be. I'm directing maybe Chris that a little bit. But ideally, you know, we're still targeting trying to get this project underway before the end of the fiscal year. And that's been the goal of the township. We would very much like to deliver this community center timely as best we can. And on budget. So those are the considerations that we're looking for. So I would think that by the end of June, fingers crossed, at the Euros, we could be looking for some board direction, probably more than likely probably early July.
In terms of the pre-construction cycle and the construction cycle, what we talked about is whenever the decision is arrived at by the board, 60, 90 days to get design documents ready to go back out on the street, 30 to 40 days worth of the design process, board, you know, recommendation for an award to mobilize the contractors. So that's probably December of this year in terms of a mobilization, either early or late, and a 20 to a 24 month schedule depending on what gets picked. I think one of the advantages of these single story options that we're looking at is probably can lean more towards 20 than 24 months.
Jim or Matt, do you have anything you want to add?
are trying to not let all the work that we had done before go, just go away, right? And obviously, but there are some things that will take redesign. Fundamentally, we're one-story building, right? So we're no longer a two-story structure. So how does that look in three dimensions? And we have been thinking about that. I mean, we have, in all these iterations, you know, John Trump, who's not here, who's a project architect who's been working with me on all these, he and I have always kind of taken a step back and go, okay, but if we do this, it's really gonna mess this up, or, you know, if we do this, it's gonna help this. And so we're anticipating all these to come to life, right? But some are more challenging than others, but the common thing is that we are starting to think about it. And obviously, if we knew there was one, then we could advance that much sooner. So, and obviously, this is an important decision. Very, you know, we're all being patient with this, and it's very important that we get this. So, whatever it is, whenever you know, we'll be ready and we'll give all our effort.
Just one quick thing, it's very fast. I think everyone realizes this has been a tough little road here since April, and I just want to assure everyone that whatever option is chosen, the department is energized and ready to get this thing really moving.